theoretically possible.
Why waste time?
But it doesn't make any sense.
Discovery, Houston, press to ATO.
3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody. This is your favorite podcaster, Quinn. How are you?
Good. How are you, Jonathan?
I'm very good. I'm excited for this deep conversation we're about to embrace. It is something that, I don't know, I feel it's so important for everyone to do this action. And I'll just tell them, it's leaning into the future.
Yeah.
And we're about to break it down. I'm going to tell you how this whole idea came to be.
Yeah.
And I think that it's the way, as the Mandalorian would say. Is that what he says?
The way. I think it is.
This is the way. Yeah. Exactly. So
we are nerds, but honestly, great show.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, leaning into the future, there's no better time to do that than now.
I think that maybe there's always the right time is to lean into the future. When is it the right time to lean into the past?
Yeah.
Dang, we already just got so deep. We're only a minute in. Here we go.
You know, I'm of the mind that I think that we can learn a lot from history.
I agree.
From the past. We can learn a lot from mistakes. We can learn a lot in general
right.
of like, yeah. But I do.
But the past doesn't
necessarily dictate the future.
Yeah, but it does inform the future.
I think that
that's
it does.
The difference,
yes.
Right? So I understand. That was a good argument. I appreciate that. But if you were, so what was your, what were you going to say when you said, I think that this is a really good time to lean into the future? Why? Right now.
Yeah, I think that obviously we all know the pandemic just happened. We are still very much in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that an event of this magnitude that has really impacted the world is going to mark a moment where a lot of things change.
Right.
And there's no going back.
Right.
We're not going back to the way things were. We're hoping to forge a new future ahead that looks similar to the things that we were able to do back then,
right.
You know, but we want to keep moving forward to make life better.
Right.
I mean, ideally, this is the goal, that by leaning into the future, you are contributing to making it better.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, there are always unintended consequences that arise along the way.
Right.
But if you're thoughtful towards the future of like, how could things get better?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really great place to start.
Absolutely.
In general,
yeah.
Especially if you're wanting to be a part of that future. Right?
Yeah, definitely. So based on your prior statement of the history can help inform the future, you know, like there's a big benefit from looking back on time.
Yeah.
Many have argued that the pandemic is going to be as monumental for our generation as World War II was for our grandparents' generation.
Yeah.
Or what were they, baby boomers? Is that correct?
No. Oh. Probably a silent majority, but definitely baby boomers. I mean, they definitely were able to, I mean, benefit from a lot of the things that happened after World War II.
Yeah,
it was a huge boom.
So, that's what I kind of wanted to ask you about is what is that big boom that happened after World War II ended? You know, what were those kind of monumental shifts that maybe could inform us of what's to come?
Yeah.
But at the same time, recognize that just because it happened there, I mean, these are very different. World War II versus a global pandemic with a virus. But at the same time, it could possibly help inform what the outlook will become.
Yeah.
And so I am curious, do you have anything specific that happened after World War II that you're like, if World War II didn't occur, then maybe this whole idea wouldn't come to fruition?
Well, there were a lot of things that happened after World War II. I mean, obviously, you know, going on gold standard, the U.S. dollar gold standard, a lot of currencies agreed to do that. So that was one thing that was more macro. But I would say, you know, obviously there was a lot of selling of government bonds to fund the war. A lot of women entered the workforce for the first time because men were off fighting.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when the war was over, it came back and there was just kind of this, I mean, it was a huge celebration of like, okay, we're not at war anymore where, you know, people are dying. It was really, you know, a very exciting, positive moment for at least the United States, right?
Right.
I mean, every country is a little bit different, but I think, you know, here it was all about, okay, great. Now we don't have to focus on that. We can consume. Now our factories are actually, you know, manufacturing things at a very high level thanks to the war. We were manufacturing things like big time, you know, when the British were buying airplanes from us, you know?
Right, yeah.
So we were able to take that momentum of, you know, manufacturing and whatnot, and our economy was, I mean, it was amazing. It really did, you know, created a boom, and like, hence the baby boomer generation, where, you know, there was the mom and dad and the white picket fence and, you know, the Leave It to Beaver, you know.
And it lasted quite some time from what I recall until it like really had another major issue, at least in the United States. So I'm kind of excited to see what's next to come.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've talked about also what happened after the pandemic, right?
The Spanish flu.
Yeah, the Spanish flu, exactly. And what happened after that was, it took quite a long time. We didn't have the advanced technology, you know, within the medical field to really understand what this virus was, like we do today. But
what if history repeats itself, where after the Spanish flu, we enter another war?
That would be crazy.
That's that's where people get all nuts about, like.
I think, like, in terms of the economy, like, this is where history, I think, is really interesting, right?
Way to focus on it.
Yeah, and I mean, the big thing was there was a little bit of a dip in the economy, and then there was the Roaring Twenties, and then of course, as we know, after the Roaring Twenties came the 30s, and that was the Great Depression, and then World War II and all that good stuff. So,
not good stuff.
Yeah, not all good stuff. Really bad stuff, actually. So, I think that obviously the pandemic right now is a huge monumental shift for the entire world. Similar to, I mean, in recent time, at least in our lifetime, you know, after the terrorist attack of 9/11, I mean, everyone's travel changed, you know, like TSA and all of that stuff changed big time. And so what's going to happen after this? Well, look, live events are probably the most sketchy thing that we can all participate in, like really large mass gathering
at
events
this point,
right now, you know, how is that going to be handled? How is traveling going to be handled? If, you know, we're all much more aware of how, susceptible we are to acquiring viruses as we travel and what is that going to look like?
Yeah.
There are certain industries that were completely obliterated after this. I mean, like the hotel restaurant industry, that's going to be interesting to see how that reforms.
Right. I think in more general terms, we could like really simplistically state that with major shifts come major opportunities.
That's it.
And, you know, this is an economic shift. And if we're I don't want to get into entrepreneurship theory, but if you're looking at where the opportunities come, they come when the shifts in the market occur, where something is out of the actual true accurate price. And therefore, if you're seeing it as being something of greater value or less value, there's an opportunity for you to bring it back to market.
Does that mean? No, it's true.
I don't want to get too deep, but you know what I'm saying?
It's true. I mean, we've gone away from a lot of things. Like we're wanting more delivery now than ever.
Yeah.
Right. There are different.
Like, who would have thought Uber is going to make majority of their money from food in 2020 versus making the majority of their money from transporting humans?
Right.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So you're seeing different consumer behavior patterns start to emerge in this pandemic, but we don't know what that's going to be like after. Is it going to be just like it was before, or is it going to be different? So I think when we're talking about the future, we're talking about how are things going to shift and change. And I think that instinctually we all kind of know there are some things that are definitely not going to go back. But like you said, with disruption, with change comes great opportunity.
Right.
And so, you know, and luckily right now, I think we are more obviously evolved as a species than we've ever been ever. Mm. We're more aware of issues that are going on, like what's going on with, our environment, basically, you know, what's going on with, technology.
Yeah, we're more interconnected. Right?
Well, yeah. I mean, we know the pros and the cons of being consistently connected by a central authority like Facebook, right? Mm-hmm. We understand how algorithms can really kind of really affect society overall. We understand that, you know, really polluted. If you're driving a car that is like spraying out black gas or black clouds, like that's
carbon
not
monoxide,
carbon monoxide. Like, what's our carbon footprint? You know, and like we're in this phase now where we have hit a moment where, I mean, we knew that a pandemic was possible, but this is the first time in our lifetime where, okay, it happened. So what are some of the other things that could happen that we don't want to believe will happen? Let's start addressing them now.
Many would argue that they don't believe will happen, and so we got to take that into account. But We have our opinion. We listen to smart people. We watched Bill Gates talk, and we have a pretty good understanding of global warming. Science speaks louder than any other form to us, me and you.
Yes.
And if you look at the scientific articles, science rules, and global warming is occurring. And, you know, there's a massive opportunity in what that's going to become.
Well, it's going to drive a whole new industry of green technology, where we are no longer trying to maintain the mm-hmm. level of carbon footprint that we all are contributing to.
Right.
We have to actually reverse it. And so that brings an entirely new industry where more investors, such as Bill Gates, are really excited to fund ideas, right? But, you know, who knows what the catalyst for all of these different future industries are? I mean, it'll be interesting to see how, you know, universal basic income, you know, happens
in different
places around the world. I mean, with all these stimulus checks, it's really interesting. The things that are happening right now are affecting people psychologically. And those things that are happening right now are going to have some, you know, ripple effects towards the future.
I want to bring back to the main title of this conversation, which is leaning into the future. So I want to start from the core. How did I come up with this idea for a podcast topic? It was simply from listening to an interview of Elon Musk. And what I realized in his interview is that guy is, if there's anyone on planet Earth, that guy leans into the future more than anyone.
Yeah.
Like as far possible as one could go. To the point where sometimes it sounds almost kind of crazy. I mean, the farthest I've ever heard him lean into the future was when he talked about, is it simulation theory with him and his brother in the hot tubs, and they would just talk about, like, what if this is all simulation? I mean, that's very, very forward thinking. But then if you reel it back, just not even too far, but like the idea of colonizing Mars, that was such a foreign concept like a decade ago.
Yeah.
But his brain was there. I mean, I think a large part of the whole reason why he created his rocket company was simply based on his vision of what Earth, you know, if we want humans and all the species and everything that we love about Earth to succeed, we need to be multiplanetary. And therefore, someone's going to have to do it. And he takes action with his ideas and his future thoughts, you know, or his thoughts about the future. And so when we're talking about leaning into the future, I kind of meant that we should actually embrace where the world is going and kind of try to lean into that kind of Elon Musk way of thinking. Now, I want to also mention that he is a human being, so he does make funny jokes on Twitter and stuff. So don't take everything he says seriously. Mm-hmm. He's a very funny guy. But I think it's a really great piece of advice for everyone who's listening to not shed away from what the future world's going to look like, but learn to embrace it. And therefore, if you learn to embrace it, then it's more likely that you're going to see opportunities in that world that you can start taking action right now to set yourself up with in the future. And if you get a little bit of luck, you maintain that curiosity and work hard, you might be in the best position to be the number one person to capitalize on it.
Yeah, absolutely. He's definitely one of those people who is an example of someone who goes back and forth between due diligence and action. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I mean, he has a large sum of capital thanks to PayPal, you know, that allowed him to pursue a lot of the ideas that he had. But the big thing that he has always been is definitely one who is like a futurist. He's trying to think, what's the future? What, like, we're going down this path. Where is this going to lead us if we don't do anything differently? Okay, that's not good. All right, so what do we need to change to make sure that it doesn't go down a path that is not as good as it could be, right? Yeah. And so I think when you're future focused, and I think obviously it's easier to be future focused maybe when you're young because you got a lot more years ahead of you. But I think at any age, you can lean in towards the future. And it's a really exciting thing to do, at least for both of us, for sure.
It could be. I do think it's important to keep it in that mindset of like staying positive. He has talks about when he gets too deep into the future and he actually gets sad about it because it seems like an inevitable dark ending.
Yeah.
But if he maintains that positive way of thinking, then the sad idea of Earth, you know, maybe at one point not being sustainable for our babies to live and thrive in the same format as us, then Mars is a beautiful option, you know? And so,
well, I do think that what it does is by leaning into the future, this great advice that Elon, you know, definitely says over and over again in his interviews, you're trying to figure out how to make it better. You're not leaning into the future to see how can I make the future worse, mm-hmm. right? You kind of come in with this altruistic mentality to it, right? Yeah. So you're like, okay, well, I want to lean into the future. Oh, that's exciting. That's exciting. And, you know, a lot of people are nervous about the future of like, well, what about, you know, automation and robotics replacing people for jobs?
Yeah.
Well, if you're leaning towards the future, you're starting to see different ways that you're like, they're going to be different jobs that are created in the future, different industries, things that we can't even understand or perceive yet right now. But I think that the best thing that anyone could do is lean into the future more so than try to make the old world happen again.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there's a process of evolution that is, it's almost like an energy of evolution that that continues to perpetuate towards the future.
Yeah.
And
don't be scared of it.
Don't be scared of it. I mean, if you try to stop the momentum, I mean, that's
going to be more detrimental to yourself.
Yeah. That's not a good place that you want to be in. So I think by thinking future towards the future, you're almost in a way setting yourself up to be able to capture opportunity along the way if you are thinking towards that.
Yeah. So one thing that I just kind of realized as we were talking about this is I think Elon Musk is probably the one who leans in the future the most. And then the other person who I think leans into the future the most that's currently alive, or of course, it's Jeff Bezos. I think that they both lean into the future heavily. They're also the richest people on planet Earth, and therefore they're the most influential people, one could argue, on planet Earth as well, when they have the money to take action on it. Therefore, I think that if you're really trying to do something of a great magnitude, you gotta go for the future. Think about where Jeff Bezos' brain was. Was it the early 90s or late 80s when he was coming up with Amazon, and people were trying to figure out what the internet is, and he's trying to create an online store for everything.
Yeah.
I mean, how forward thinking do you have to be? And it's year after year, no profit, no profit, no profit, survive, 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 and reuse all the revenue into all of your expenses, fully focused on growth. Dude, just capitalized it not that long ago.
Yeah.
Like literally.
Yeah. Well, the truth is when you're looking towards the future, you really can't predict anything. Like that's the truth. It's like when Elon Musk is saying like, yeah, sometimes it gets sad because there is potential that something really bad could happen. I mean, we did not necessarily foresee the pandemic happening in 2020. Okay. Yep. So there are things that unexpectedly happen. And so by thinking towards the future and trying to create something for the future, there's obviously a side to it that makes it easier to fail, right? Because you don't know if it's actually going to work or not. But I think that by thinking towards the future and creating and failing, then creating again, there is this, I don't know, this like understanding knowledge through experience.
That's really interesting point.
I think I can't think of anything more beneficial to someone than just trying to go towards the future. I mean, it doesn't mean that you have to, it could take shape in so many different ways for an individual. But I think, for sure. I mean, if you're just doing what everyone else is doing at the same, like right now, I mean, how are you going to pivot in the future? Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. I think you're bringing up a great point, which is what do we mean by leaning into the future?
Yeah.
And so half of that is be curious about it. Try to figure it out. Like what are other people envisioning? What's going on right now that's very technologically advanced or very futuristic, like a future world? I'll never forget when we were in Bangkok and we were Skyping our friends, not Skyping, that was an old thing, but we video FaceTimed our pals, and they looked out the city landscape of Bangkok and they said, dude, it looks like Star Wars.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, that kind of idea of like, it looks so futuristic or it feels futuristic or this is future. Get curious about that. Learn about that. Embrace that.
Yeah.
But then there's other part that you were talking about, which is kind of participating in the future by taking action and creating. And I will say that the first part of the curiosity, that's got to come before the taking action.
Yeah.
You know, so it's got to start with that. You got to be kind of engulfed within it. Then after doing so, then you can start creating. You're not going to create something without having any background behind it. I mean, right. Like we said, Rome wasn't built in a day. Elon Musk didn't, you know, all of a sudden have a space company. You know how much research he did on rockets before buying his first one? He was like a rocket engineer by the time he bought his first rocket. And so you got to have that little balance, but you do have to take action. But I think this idea of leaning into the future, it is so essential to do so. And I feel as though, in all honesty, we have toyed around with the future. Like, if we look at our whole time together and we like mapped it out, like, oh, when were we really thinking about the future? When were we not? There's different times where we were embracing it. And I'd like to make a promise to you right now that I am dedicated to maintaining a very high degree of always focusing on the big picture future of what is the world going to look like. Can't go too far out there. I honestly believe that. I can't go, when I'm going to be 70 years old. But what is the world going to look like in 5-10 years?
Yeah.
Not necessarily where will we be or what are we going to be doing exactly, but trying to understand what the world is going to be like in 5-10 years, maybe 15 years, maybe 20 years. But what will that look like? And then making our decisions based on that. So therefore, if we embrace the future or lean into it, then our own personal path, there's going to be a lot of unknown and uncertainty, because if we're always chasing the future, the future, what we find about the future is going to inform our actions on what we should do. And I want to lean the heck into that for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, I do really think that the future also really depends on us actually leaning in towards it, right? Mm-hmm. Think about, what is the impact of Elon Musk in general? Now, I don't want to like overhype him, but seriously, like,
he's the richest person on earth.
That's a fact
right now.
Yeah, but I'm not really bothered by that. To me, I think what's interesting is that he changed the automotive industry, hands down.
Game changer.
Everyone's going electric. Yeah. He changed United States privatized business in rocket and satellite launching.
Right.
Like, whoa. And NASA was like, that NASA was the only thing, and it was being defunded every year more and more and more. And he just completely brought the U.S. back up to speed in the glory days of where we're all watching these amazing launches, like the rover launch onto Mars. And so
he's also the head of Neuralink, which is the program where they're integrating basically artificial intelligence computers into brains, which will eventually go into human brains. And it will start off by helping those who are disabled. But I think he's mentioned it before, and people are very weary of this because it's very, very futuristic, almost eerie. But soon you can like literally have a computer in your brain.
Yeah.
What will that be like? You don't even need to say, hey Siri, da 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 da. You can actually just think it and it's there.
Yeah.
Or you're not even thinking about it. It's already there. Yeah. Like, that's crazy.
It is really interesting. But, you know, I also think about like Starlink too, which is his, he's basically launching satellites to allow for people in rural areas to have access to high speed internet. That is a huge deal. Like,
it's gonna change the world.
Honestly, there are over 3 billion people in this world who don't have access to capital. They don't have a bank account. They don't have an identification. They're basically like completely off the grid. They don't have access to internet. They may have, minutes on their phone, but that's about it. And so to be able to like, whether it's banking the unbanked or giving them identification or giving them access to internet, that is like, that's 3 billion people that just now all of a sudden are entering the world connection, the World Wide Web. So it is, there are things though that individuals really can have a real impact on, right? And it takes time evolving, and it does require, the timing of it to be right where people are ready to adopt it, and whatnot, because some things are more advanced than we're ready for. But I think that what's really, really important is that people are looking towards the future rather than hanging. You can hang on to the things that you love. I love nostalgia.
Yeah.
But I think that it's super important for us all to kind of understand that the only thing that is constant is change. Things will change. And so if we think about it in that way, if we're thinking towards the future, knowing that change is going to occur, how can we make that change a positive change for the better?
And how do we participate? Yeah. How can we be involved in it too?
Yeah, exactly. I do feel though this big change with the pandemic has certainly changed a lot of people's mentality towards the future, you know, like what is it gonna, when are we going to go back to normal? Well, it's not going to go back to the same way. I mean, we're thinking about how our city is going to basically come back, right? Yeah. And which cities are going to be booming? We don't know. There's been a huge migration, right? And this is exciting to me. I mean, really, change brings a lot of interesting opportunities, new creation and whatnot. And so, yeah, lean in and make the future better. I mean, that's if we can all just do a little bit of that, you know, just trying to look towards the future and how can we make it a better world for all of us.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds very, you know, almost kind of corny and idealistic, but
yeah.
I do
but
think
you should
that,
aim for utopia. I mean, why not? Why wouldn't you? What else are you going to aim for?
Yeah.
You know, like it's something that we'll probably never be able to achieve, but at the same time, we want to succeed and have the best life for everyone on planet Earth. We want to live our best life.
Yeah.
That's utopia. How do you embrace that idea and participate in making whatever you can come to fruition to ensure that occurs?
Yeah. And if there are still problems in the future, we're going to come out of this and we're going to kind of all look around and be like, whoa, that was like a year and a half or 2 years that we just like totally, everything was different, you know, we're going to come out of it. And I think that, you know, it's going to be important for us all to kind of look around, look at each other and just be like, okay, how do we come together and move forward from this?
I want to bring up the idea of time, to be specific with looking towards the future or leaning into it or embracing it. Do you think that there's an ideal amount of time that one should be looking at? Because if you go too far in the future, the risk is insanely high. Because what is the odds that one can think about, you know, for example, looking at living in another solar system versus looking at living on Mars, you know?
Yeah.
That's an extreme example, but it gives an idea of like, you can't be thinking about that. We got to go step by step. And so do you think that there's a time factor, or do you think it just simply depends on the industry itself? What is the ideal little realm? Are you trying to just be ahead of a sprint that's going on currently and just be right in front of it? Or should you be looking like 2-3 years ahead where there's higher risk, a lot more uncertainty, but at the same time, that could be the, diamond in the rough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that you're right. I mean, the longer period of time that you're looking out, the higher the risk is of whether or not it's actually going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. But I do think that it's kind of like a chicken or the egg problem, right? Yeah. Are you going to be the one who actually gets it there?
Yeah.
And if you don't, then it's not going to.
So what's your opinion, though, for like you personally? Like, do you think that it's more beneficial for us to have a balance, or do you think that we should really kind of embrace the things that we really feel more confident? You know, we're digging dirt over here. Do we dig in this area where we really feel there's a diamond over here, but no one's explored that area? And you never know, there could be like 20 diamonds over there, you know,
yeah.
But it also could be just an empty plot of land. You know what I'm trying to get at?
Totally. I think that the first step is to just start leaning towards the future. Okay. And then once you start leaning towards the future, then you start finding you're going to get a huge wave hit on you where people are already thinking about what you are trying to get into. Mm. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter how far into the future, there are going to be people who are already talking about it, already building things, already doing things. Right. And those people probably are just like really obsessed. They're passionate about it. It's something that like caught them, and they just like, whether it was the combination of their own skills and their own curiosity came together, and that was like, I don't even care if this is 10 years out. This is what I want to do, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're not there yet, I think just leaning in and just like engaging with people who, whether it's, you know, reading their books or engaging in like, you know, conversation with them and whatnot, like why? And I think the best thing you could do for yourself, if it specifically is way further out, is to understand the pros and the cons, like both sides. Like, what are people saying?
Evaluate the risk.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Evaluate it. Like, what are people saying? Why wouldn't it work? And why are people saying why it would work, right? Mm. And then once you start actually immersing yourself in whatever that is, that's geared towards the future, I think you start really diving into that, and that's where you start really wanting to understand it more. The more you understand it, the more you're going to be curious. Well, what about this? Well, has anyone built this? I mean, you're ahead of the game, right? I mean, if you're 10 years out on something that's like not going to come to fruition for 10 years, and I don't know, I'm just making that up.
It's not bad.
10 years out. I mean,
Bezos was at least 10 years out.
That's a long time. Yeah. That's a long time for things to pivot, for things to change, right? And so, but if you're in on it early, and you're like, this is definitely the way it is. Okay, well, we got to change it a little bit here. We got to change it a little bit there. That's a really good position to put yourself into. Yeah. Now, if it's more like 5 years out, 3 years out or whatever, well, you're going to want to like do like dive in like really quick crash course for yourself and learn as much as you can. And, mm-hmm. you know, the whole like learn, do your due diligence and then take action and whatnot. But I think you have to immerse yourself in it, yeah. in some way. And there's no telling whether or not it's going to be the thing that goes huge in the future or right. not. But I think you have to have some sort of a connection, some sort of a passion. You have to believe in it
yeah.
as well. If that's something that you're not interested in, then go on to something else. There's yeah. going to be so many different things that come up in the future. I mean, right. we're talking about like passport vaccines, you know, like what is my vaccine history up until now? I mm-hmm. didn't really know. Yeah. Now, that's something that I need to learn. And that's something that I need to know mm-hmm. possibly because in the future, that's going to be something that I have to tell other, you know, governments in order yeah. for me to actually go and like travel visit, to yeah. visit. So, you know, there's a lot of things short term and long term. So just, I mean, obviously the risk is higher the longer it is out, but yeah. that's also where the gold is found.
No, it's very good advice, Dr. Button. I was very impressed.
Oh, thank you.
You're quite a good professor. I learned a lot from having this conversation. I hope our wonderful friends did. And I don't think anyone can top what you just said. I think that, like, if anyone's going to listen to this podcast again, listen to the last, like, 2 minutes. Quinn's very good at
You're
compressing
nice.
That information nicely. So we appreciate you. We look forward to speaking to you tomorrow. We always appreciate the reviews and the ratings and the subscription, so feel free to do that, and we can't wait to talk to you tomorrow. Hope you have a wonderful day.
Talk to you then. Bye. Bye.
Enjoy this journey through sound.